there's a feeling that I get when I'm singing on stage for people, even just alone, honestly, that like I don't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, that's maybe one highest. Place, but it might be a little inappropriate.
No, keep going. No, I'm kidding.
You know, just let me present in bed, bro. No, but like, obviously, singing and doing my craft is way better. But like,
is it?
Yeah,
is it
different kind of better? I'm blushing. It's been a while, people. Holla.
I think that's gonna call it.
514. Call me.
Hey, thanks for checking out the show. And if you like it, tell a friend. And if you want to support the show, you can by 1, subscribing and liking our YouTube channel at the DMW Podcast. 2, you can go to our website and sign up to our mailing list at thedmwpodcast.com. And 3, you can follow us on Instagram at the DMW Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support. My name is Steph, and this is the Dead Man Walking Podcast.
Actually, I've always kind of wanted to do a podcast.
So now you'll get the first hand. Is this your first one?
Actually, yeah, this is my first in-person podcast.
Wow.
You're popping my in-person cherry podcast. Oh, that sounded bad.
I'm feeling really good and like still good though. Either way, I'm happy I'm your first.
I've done one before, but it was kind of more like an interview. Yeah. Well, I guess it's similar, but... It was for a release, and it was shorter, so it felt less of a podcast. So this is kind of my first.
This is awesome. So like you said, we officially started it without actually starting
Look at that.
So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And this is how many months in the making, would you say?
4?
I think so. Four-ish. I still don't remember if it was an actual gate show or if it was your show, but we met at a show.
Yeah. If it was my show, it was in April. Ooh, that's scary. That means it's, well, I don't know, math, even that's considered math, but that's like pretty early on this year. So maybe it's even more than 4 months.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember. But I remember though, when I saw you at the show, I really liked it.
Oh, thanks.
And that was one of the main reasons. I liked the show because I think there was a few elements to your show that I really liked. It was one that it was great voice. Like, that's fantastic. Great. But you had like a dark side to it, like kind of a, like, yeah. It was like a fun, depressing side that you, not in a mean way.
Fun, depressing.
But it was like, it was deep. Like there was elements. I was like, okay, there's something with this girl. Like, I'd like to know a little more behind behind the singer, because it felt like there was a little more meat to the story than just someone that was singing, you know?
Yeah. It's funny. There's many people that have come out to shows over the years and they're like, it's interesting to see you perform because in between songs, you're like this goofball. Cause I'm essentially the same. Even if I try my hardest not to be myself on stage, I can't help it. So I'm essentially the same off stage as I am on stage. So in between songs, I'm kind of like rambling, like I'm doing right now. I just pop jokes, try to, and then I start singing and everyone's like, whoa, the room just got quiet and sad and, you know. So your question was?
It was just a statement saying that I knew that there was something behind this. Yeah. And that's why I was kind of like, I want to get to know her a little more. Then we chatted a bit and kind of texted, trying to organize this whole thing back and forth. My daughter got sick. We had to cancel all that stuff. And then finally, this is happening now. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what I assume there's some meat to the story. And I wanted to know, like, is there anything upcoming for you that right away, like kick it off? Like, what are you excited about right now?
Well, I released, my latest project I released was Modern Tragedy. I released that in 2021. Probably it is my favorite project to date. I guess everyone would say that.
Why?
Being their last prod, like their latest thing. They're like, of course you're going to be the most proud of it. But on so many levels, it's my favorite. It was after essentially like a 6-year hiatus too. I took time off. It wasn't really like intentional. It just kind of happened that way. But I was struggling a lot with my mental illness, and I was still playing shows. Like I still was getting hired to sing at weddings or whatever, but I wasn't really writing. I was kind of stuck and I was just so depressed for so long. I still am, but a little less now. But, so yeah, Modern Tragedy, That was my latest project. I forget what we were talking about.
No, but it, you know, it kind of went into it. Yeah, but it was, you know, it's interesting because you said there was the hiatus from the project. And during that period, you know, you said it was a pretty like dark time, I guess. Mm-hmm. It wasn't your best, let's say, period. But yet you still made something out of that period. So was that 6-year hiatus kind of the lead up to this album in a sense? Like, how did that all kind of go from stopping to going through some mental stuff, which if you want, we can dive into if you feel comfortable talking about it. And then how did that kind of turn into a project that you said, I want to come back and release this, you know? I think that for just that alone, there's already a journey in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's funny because, you know, when I was going through it and I just saw the years go by and I was like, oh, I haven't really felt productive and I haven't written. And I've never been like an eclectic writer, but I definitely have written more than I was then. But yeah, it was funny when I was going through it, I was like stressing about the time going by and I was getting older. And now looking back, especially after seeing Modern Tragedy and its full form, like I'm kind of grateful for that time because, you know, I'd had released 3 other EPs, 2 solo ones, which is not available online because it makes me cringe thinking about that, but it was a way younger version of me. Then I released a collaborative project. Then I went on my 6-year hiatus, then Modern Tragedy. But I'm kind of grateful for it because my like sound changed. I went through some shit. I, wrote these sad songs that maybe when people listen, they might not feel that it's necessarily sad. There's definitely like a mood and maybe puts you in a certain mental state. But if you listen to the lyrics, it's pretty...
Well, the videos are great. The songs are great. So if we dive into, let's say, that project, and you were saying there was kind of this, I guess, this wake up that happened during those 6 years, like what happened in the first place for you to take that much of a break? Like to say, I need to step away from music. Was there something in specific or?
Well, not much was happening. No, I felt like in my mind there was a lot happening. And, you know, I was, it was like, I guess around the start of that. Yeah, I guess the start of the 6-year hiatus kind of was when I moved out alone.
Okay.
You know, like moved out of my parents. And kind of life changed a bit. Like my reality kind of changed because I was like, oh, I need a full-time job. Because before that I was just making enough to whatever. My parents kind of took care of me. So I made money for me. And that was kind of the reality of it. And then when I moved out, it was not like that. So I had to get
a call.
Yeah. So then I had to get a full-time job.
Were you buzzing?
I was miserable.
I was about to say that. Like I, for, you know, some people have two completely different like scenarios when they move out. And one of them is like, oh, you know, I'm getting out of here. I'm doing that. And sometimes there's a holy shit, like a wake up call. Like all this fucking stuff was done for me. I didn't even know that all this stuff was done. I have to organize like all this shit. I got to take care of all this other stuff. So what was it that kind of like gave you that first initial like reaction? Like, holy shit, things are different now.
Wait, just to go back a little bit, like I do, don't get me wrong. I love my independence and it took me a while to get there, but I did like the idea of moving out and having things my way and like quiet and time, you know, but yeah, it's just the reality of like, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
It feels weird saying it. No, I'm an artist and this is what I want to do. But the reality is we live in a world of where people can have studios in their basement and the industry is like super saturated and, you know, well, you know how it is. I don't have to tell you.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I think it really clicked when I like it was got a full time job and was working like 40 hours a week in a really like busy environment, very like lots of different noises and a lot of myself I have to give to people. Well, I guess I didn't have to. I just naturally do that. So, yeah. And then I was just becoming like super depressed. It was just a lot of stuff I didn't want to be doing and then feeling exhausted and not having the creative juices that I was kind of hoping I'd have.
Well, it's funny you say that because a lot of times when that 40 hours a week hits and you're a creative person, you're right. It drains you.
Yeah.
Like then to come home and say, okay, now I'm going to write something after you've just, I don't know, had to deal with some stupid ass meeting that you don't even care.
I was a barista.
Okay. So on physically tired on like on top of it
so
too.
So many levels, yeah.
Yeah, so there's all this shit going on. So to get home and kind of, you know, start working on a project, it's not the most motivating thing either.
No.
So how did you find a way to motivate yourself throughout that period?
Well, I didn't write. That was the 6-year hiatus. So I didn't really write. I didn't really do much. I was in a long-term relationship and also things kind of went south with that too because I felt because of where I was at mentally and stuff. It just wasn't, I just kind of felt like I was in a rut in so many ways. So I wasn't doing much. I wasn't motivated. I just like would get together with my music partner and we would jam and maybe that's what motivated me for most of it. But yeah, didn't write enough.
So what happened then? So you said there was a 6-year hiatus. Then you started meeting up with someone again. And was there like a spark that happened to say? Like,
yeah.
Was there like a moment that you can remember that's like, oh, fuck, like this is fun again?
Yeah, it's wild. Okay. Cause I think at my core, I'm like a singer songwriter. I'm not a producer. I definitely have ideas. But for the most part, when I write a song, I'm really just focused on the melody and the lyrics. Like the lyrics are really important for me. But I know a lot of fellow artists who can kind of hear the whole production, you know? So like up until my latest project that I started working on in 2020, but released in 2021, I never really knew who I was, like artistically and otherwise. I just kind of like, I remember just being in the studio and just kind of letting anything happen. Like whatever the producer thought was cool, I was like, yeah. But okay. Like in my head, I was like, I don't even know if I like this.
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's an age thing too. I was really young when I started those projects, but yeah, and it's weird. I don't know, maybe the pandemic's brought this up in me, but it was really, I had seen, so there's this girl that I know, we are friends, and her name is Marina Totino. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she, one night in the pandemic, it was one of my sleepless nights. I had many of those. And I saw that she put out like a miniature video that she did for one of her friends who was also an artist. Like she did like a minute clip of her new single.
Okay.
And like as a surprise, like here's this cute video, use it as promo. And as soon as I saw that, my brain just like spiraled. Like
Why?
Everything.
What happened?
I just had like a full vision. As like the songs that I had, the few songs that I had that I was proud to move forward with, I just didn't know when. Seeing that video kind of like put everything in a row for me. Like I just
clarified things.
Everything. But I just like, I had a vision to work with her and she was open to it. It was her first time she ever got hired to do anything. And that sparked all these ideas. I knew exactly what I want the music video to be like. Spent a lot of money. And then, yeah, my full vision. Well, that was for the single, If I Leave. It's not on Modern Tragedy, but it was kind of part of that whole time where I got inspired again. And then the other three songs that are on the EP, I had a full vision for that too. So I guess that's what sparked it. Like, I don't know, but everything was so clear. I knew exactly what the visuals needed to look like. I knew who I wanted to work with for the most part. And it was honestly like the best trip.
I was gonna say, did that feel like your first official like moment of independence?
Mm-hmm.
You had no more relationship, I guess, at that point?
No.
You know, out of your parents, completely on your own, kind of breaking away a bit from the 40-hour shift, the mentality only.
Yeah.
So it kind of felt like a chain's being broken in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was, you know, when that inspiration came, it was actually at the end of me working for that company when I was a barista. I worked there for 5.5 years.
Okay.
It was towards the end because the pandemic happened. Everyone did not work.
Yeah.
And I had an extended leave because of my health stuff, because I'm more like susceptible to COVID and stuff. So anyhow, so I had an extra leave, and then eventually they closed the cafe that I was at. So for a whole year, I was eligible for unemployment, and I fucking rode that fucking wave the whole time. I was like, this is a dream.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm finally doing what I've always wanted to do. I'm getting paid to do music. Essentially, I'm not getting paid to do music, but I just kind of like
entertained
that idea.
You had an opportunity because a lot of times someone's getting a paycheck for something. They might not take that time to actually do what they want to do. Like, it's just like, fuck it, let's just ride this wave.
Yeah.
And you saw an opportunity there and you took it, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like changed everything for you at that point?
I think so. Inside, like, it's not like my EP got like a lot of streams or a lot of whatever, but inside it, like, it changed a lot for me. It was like, okay, I know who I am. I know what my sound is. I was even like contemplating changing my artist name. Low key kind of still regret not doing it, but it's okay. No regrets. Hashtag no regrets. But like, it changed a lot for me inside as an artist. My confidence, like I finally like practiced like asking people for help. I've always been the person to just do everything myself and never ask for help.
So what changed? What, like, cause that's a big one, asking for help. I know I used to be like that. I totally relate to the idea of not asking for help.
Yeah.
And I realized that in one way it does build a lot of strength, but in another way, it is one of the biggest weaknesses you could have to not ask someone for help.
Oh, I thought you said to ask for
asking
help.
Asking for like, help is, you're a loser if you ask for help. No, the complete opposite. I was so like against asking for help for such a long time. I was convinced that was like a sign of weakness. Just
no.
And then once I started asking, I said, holy shit, like this is the only way you can actually grow and do something that you're not used to doing.
Yeah.
It's going to introduce you to new things. It's
new people, new opportunities, everything. New
frames of mind too, like a new thought process on things that I started realizing like, shit, the only way you can grow is asking for help or else you're fucked. You're going to stay in that one spot forever.
That's it. And like, excuse me.
You could burp on the show. It's fine.
If I was at home, I would have ripped one. No, but yeah, what changed? Well, literally, like having all this time, being in a global pandemic, and and the vision that I had. Like, it was like nothing could stop me. So it was like I felt forced into asking people because I was so driven by this idea and this project that I had in my mind. And I was like, I just want to do it.
What was the project exactly that you saw?
Well, like it, modern tragedy. Okay, like everything. You saw everything in this vision.
Yeah, the visuals. I thought it was coming like slowly. So you literally had like a breakthrough vision of it.
Yeah, that's felt that up. Way.
I've never had like thinking back as like an artist when I used to play music and all that stuff, I never had that breakthrough moment. So I can only imagine what it must be like to wake up and just say, holy fuck, like I see this. I see that more with the podcast.
Cool.
Like the visions of what I see and like ideas. And I've had a lot of ideas that slowly they're starting to come to fruition now. But on a musical level, I never had that. And I always wished I had that moment of like an awakening as an artist.
Yeah. Well, dude, you still got time.
Man. Yeah.
You still got time.
Still got time.
You're young.
You know, this is the quintessential line. You got time. That's pretty cool. But, you know, I think there's also like, this is an amazing story of how you kind of found yourself in this process. But how difficult was it when you started opening that door to figuring shit out for yourself that you maybe had any fears or doubts that this road was the road you want to take and kind of want to go back to what you know? Did you have any of those moments in that period?
No.
No?
And that's also why it like changed something inside. Like it was the first time I wasn't really doubting. The only thing I was doubting was like the logistics. So like kind of like who I was maybe working with on certain photo shoots or video shoots, like that was definitely good. But in hindsight, I'm like, well, I'm grateful for those experiences because even though they were super, some of them were super challenging, I was like, I learned something in the process, as cliche as that sounds. But it's, I wouldn't change a thing, honestly. Maybe just like a couple hundred more views, you know, and like
a few more 100.
Let's turn that to 1,000. But like, yeah, no, I wouldn't change anything.
That's pretty cool. And now that's awesome that you found that whole like period of growth. And I always like hearing stories like that because it's so easy not to change, that having that opportunity to do it and actually do it kind of makes me want to ask the question of maybe you take a backtrack and what made you get into music in the first place? There's so many forms of art. You seem very artistic. You seem like you want to try new things. Like you have this excitement about you. Also, there's some, like we had spoken about, you know, like there's some thoughts and there's heaviness too, but you're a very excited, exciting person. And at the same time, music chose you, you chose music. How did that kind of start?
I never have been asked that question. Music chose me or I chose music. I'm not sure. I'll get back to you. No, honestly, let's say music chose me. Like really young, growing up, like my grandfather would like play classical piano while we would be like going to sleep when we would sleep at my grandparents' place. So that was already a huge thing. And I looked up to him in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And then other family members at random occasions, like my mom's brother was such a rocker when he was younger. Like I'm talking like long hair, like little curls, like long stash. He was rocking it. But like, so there was all that. And then elementary was just like, I did all the plays, but I was never like a lead or anything, not even close. I was really shy and I still am for certain things. And then high school came, did all the talent shows. And then when I graduated high school, a few of my friends bought me a guitar.
Okay.
And it
your friends bought you a guitar.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I know.
And my friends had never bought me a guitar.
They were so, they're the greatest. But yeah, they bought me a guitar and it was instant. Like, I remember the first, like, I don't know, I want to say like 5 years, maybe less. But like, it was like the first thing I would think of as soon as I'd wake up, I would just run to my guitar. It didn't matter what. And I was just like learning songs online. And then I started writing. I have a folder somewhere in a box somewhere with like just half songs, verses, like from those early days of teaching myself. And just started writing. And I didn't know what I'm doing. I still technically don't. I have no like training. I don't know theory, but it just feels right in my heart.
I love the end in the heart.
In my heart.
But no, it's pretty cool. So you were kind of self-taught, I guess, with the mix of YouTube in there. Mm. And then you finally had that confidence to say, I'm going to take this out of my room and do this.
Yeah.
Well, what happened? Like what gave you that confidence to finally want to be on a stage?
I don't know if I remember there being like, I can't really remember a moment where I was like, I'm going to do this. I just kind of felt like it was a, like my path. Like mm-hmm. it was kind of just like
the next step
obvious to me. So yeah. So then I started playing my originals in bars. No one was listening. They were drunk, but that's that, okay. That's actually kind of good. Because, yeah, I know, I was wow, gonna say cringe.
That. I remember like playing in bars and I used to be like, oh, you know, at the time I want more people to listen. And then when I think about it, I'm like, you know what? Drink more. It's going to sound better. The more, the more you drink, the better these songs are going to sound.
That's hilarious. I've actually never had a drink before I go on stage.
Oh my God. I can't say the same. I cannot say the same. I don't even think I ever went on the stage completely sober. Like there was always something. We had drinks before, yeah. We smoked joints. Well,
you know what? That's actually more common. It's true. I was going to be like, wow, that's surprising. No, it's not. Like a lot. I'm the one that's a bit odd.
You're the weirdo here.
But I just like to like feel the full experience. As lame as that sounds, like I really do. Because if you know, if you're under the influence, it's not that you're not all there. You're just not experiencing it like you would be if you were completely sober.
You see, it's funny. I guess there was an element of me when I think about it now is that I was like maybe stage fright. So this would like calm me down and get that kind of like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you kind of build up this alter ego in a sense where mm-hmm. you kind of start thinking that this is what you need to do to perform better, you know, mm-hmm. like, so you kind of, okay, well, you know, the ritual was have a few beers with the guys and then maybe a few shots and you kind of like loosen up. And then from there, it's like, okay, get on stage. And, you know, at the time you could still smoke in bars. So you had all your cigarettes out, like ready to go. And you had this whole thing of like smoking and drinking. And then maybe, you know, in between the set, you maybe go get a few tokes over here or whatever. And you're like, okay, now I'm chilling out. Like we know this set's a bit more chiller. And then you kind of come into that. And then you start realizing it's kind of like this repetitive thing, like that's the only way you could start doing shows.
Yeah, and then now you're kind of developed a habit that you're like, if I don't do this, what's gonna happen?
Yeah, that's why I don't think I ever really played one full show without doing one something.
Yeah.
So that's why when I think back now, it's like the experiences were fun, but if you ask me to remember like, you know, certain moments outside of like things that really stuck out, it would be very hard, to be quite honest, you know. So
and you think that's because of
No, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, I can kind of argue that. I feel like even just nerves itself, regardless of being under the influence, I think nerves can kind of like make you forget things too. You know, when you're just like you're kind of just riding on adrenaline type thing. Like I feel like it's like I don't even do it to necessarily to remember everything. I just really in the moment want to be present. Look, we live in a world that there's so many distractions. Yeah. And there's a feeling that I get when I'm singing on stage for people, even just alone, honestly, that like I don't get anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Well, that's maybe one place, but it might be a little inappropriate.
No, keep going. No, I'm kidding.
You know, just let me present in bed, bro. No, but like, obviously, singing and doing my craft is way better. But like,
is it?
Yeah,
is it
different kind of better? I'm blushing. It's been a while, people. Holla.
I knew that was gonna call it.
514. Call me.
We're gonna put your hashtag and everything, like everything, to follow you after this. But yeah, no, continue. Sorry about ruining the moment.
No, I was
about getting banged versus singing. But
but no, it's just like there's a feeling I got on stage, and I really have thought of it over the years, and I'm like, oh, that feeling is being fully present.
Yeah,
and it's hard for me. It's hard for me when I have all these thoughts coming in that I unfortunately entertain a lot, mm-hmm. even though they're not necessarily real. Like just like the dark thoughts, like oh, you're not good enough, or. But I mean, we all kind of struggle with that. But yeah, so what was your question?
We're talking about sex. I don't even know where you were.
Yeah, you're like, I'm done.
I'm done. But so, no, like, and maybe we can dig in a little bit on that. Like you were saying, all these distractions that you have, and mm-hmm. it kind of made you forget about how good that moment, those moments feel on stage, and to have those moments as a singer and, you know, kind of working on your craft and doing that in front of people. And yet these voices kind of crept in and took you away from that for a while. What kind of voices were you hearing? You're talking about confidence. You're talking about a bunch of stuff. But I mean, was there anything that you want to dive into that like really, really kind of stopped you from pursuing that at a certain point?
Well, like I said, it's like the rat thing, the situation of my life, which was like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, working 40 hours a week, not making a lot of money and living alone and stuff like that. But, you know, there is depression in my family and there has been for a few generations. And so I'm assuming that's where that comes from. I think being an artist, it kind of unfortunately makes it even more intense. But, you know, it had to do with confidence, me not being good enough and just me overthinking everything and worrying about everything and just kind of feeling frozen, honestly. Mm. And I still deal with that. I just have found tools to like help with that.
And has it been a long time that you've had those feelings, like from when you were a kid?
Honestly, I don't even remember when I didn't have those thoughts, unfortunately.
Okay. And so your career in singing, like there was at one point you were recognized on TV show like La Voix. You hadn't worked on that, I know. We're going to dive into that a bit, with that whole experience. But you know what I mean? Like things were there. And throughout that process, like when I saw some stuff of you, I would have never thought that. Right? You didn't give off that impression.
Like that I would be someone to go on a show like that?
No, not that impression, but just like that you've been dealing with that throughout that time, right? Like you see people on stage and I kind of wouldn't have thought that. I would have said, okay, there's the artistic side to it, you know, whatever, but that you had those thoughts you were saying for, like you can remember a time when you didn't have those thoughts. So what were you doing in those moments like to try to hide those things? Like was it?
The truth is I'm an open book, I think, for the most part. And anyone who gets even remotely close to me will know most of the things I'm thinking, for better or for worse. but I honestly, to my knowledge, I never felt like I had to hide it. Well, mm-hmm. I guess when I was younger, I felt like I did, you know? But I don't remember ever consciously saying like, oh, you have to hide it. You know, but I think my answer to that or my thought on all that is like, I have a lot of artist friends who also are sad and just sad friends that aren't artists. And I think it really comes down to like people who have like been through this shit are absolutely going to be really happy or like just loving. And I don't know, it just feels like there's less moments of like being happy and excited about things. So it kind of like, I don't know, like comes out more. I don't know how to say it, but like, I just feel like if you've gone through the shit, most of the time you're going to be a good person and be happy.
I guess you're also empathetic to seeing some, you know what I mean? And you see someone that's not doing so well, you kind of understand it. And it's funny how, like you were saying something about artists, you know, every artist, even I've had my moments and those thoughts about depression and battles with them. And it just feels like it's almost like part of the process, I guess, because you're trying to like connect with yourself constantly and you're trying to figure out who you are in the process of making this art, you know, whether it's music or painting or whatever it is. And then you always come to that point where you're like, am I good enough? I used to think that all the time. You know what I mean? Like, am I good enough? Like, why am I doing this?
You are good enough, by the way.
But you never think that. Like, no. And even if a million people tell you, like, I'm sure people tell you when they hear you sing, wow, great singer, whatever. And then there's that element for a long time of like, am I really that good of a singer? And, you know, are my songs really that good? You know, like all those thoughts come in. So I know for me that even still to this day, no matter what, like even when I started the podcast, I was like, why the fuck would I start a podcast? Like, who's going to listen? Like all these thoughts would come in. So I feel like whenever you're trying something that's going to put yourself out there and be vulnerable with it, it almost inherently marries you to this lack of confidence of like, right. Oh my God.
Yeah, because you're looking inward.
Yeah, because you're like, I'm going to put something out there that I think is good. And then you know some people are going to say it's shit or something, you know, a stupid comment or whatever it is. And then I find when you do that at a younger age, it's really tough. And you know, like a young artist, it's always a battle. Like, are you going to feel comfortable putting out something that you really believe in? You know, if you're doing something like you were saying when you were younger, you kind of listen to a lot of people. So you feel like even if you put out something good, it was never really you. And you kind of like said, oh, you know, I know I used to say that, like even with my band, like, did I really want to write that song? You know, or was it kind of the format that we should have wrote a song, you know? So ultimately what I'm just trying to say is that I find as you get older, you kind of like stop caring as much about what people are thinking. And you just know that you need to put it out. Like, it's something right. you just need to put out.
And it's something that, like, at least for me, and I can't speak on behalf of everyone, but, like, it feels true to me. And, you know, I have a lot of friends and in the industry that are like, you know, like, your song needs to be 3 minutes or it should be like this structure. But it's like, no, I did that. And, like, I didn't like it. Like, I want to write something that feels like me, whether it is not like a standard mm-hmm. song for radio, you know, like, I don't know. And, like, it's funny because once I had that realization, it pretty much really came to fruition when I did Modern Tragedy. It was like, I became more okay with me as an artist inside, because I was like, oh, I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm moving further away from, like, you know, being discovered or whatever, because the song, it's not like your typical whatever arrangement, but it feels like I'm moving closer to myself.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is like, that's all I want, because I feel like I've spent most of my life not knowing who I was, or do I need to be this way, or do I, like, or told, whether it was directly or indirectly, like, I have to be a certain way, you know, you can't cry, you can't this, you can't that. It's like, no, I'm gonna fucking cry, and I'm gonna write a song that feels true to me, even if it's like, no one's gonna listen to it.
Well, I think, well, just there's growth, right? In what mm-hmm. you said, like, I'm not writing it to get discovered, I'm just writing it because I need to get it out there. For me, like, it's almost like a therapy session.
Yeah.
Based on what you're kind of talking about, like, the experience that you're going through when you're releasing something now.
Yeah, for sure.
So sorry. I felt like I cut you off there.
No. I was down my thought. No, it's great. It's perfect.
Perfect. I don't need to add anything.
No. Yeah, I'm just, like, thinking. I'm in the feels right now.
No, but it's fun. Like, I'm seeing that, you know, I remember when I scrolled, like, you know, my usual little bit of stalking on someone. You know, you had
started. Sorry, I have to interrupt you. Like, yeah. It's not considered stalking if it's right there.
Yeah, but it's like this idea, like, you know, I find there's a level when you, with social media, like, when you start going a little too far back, you know, like, if you like, let's say someone randomly likes one of your pictures, that's like the first post, and you have like 1,000 posts, let's say, whatever. Not saying you have 1,000, but it's kind of like, what the fuck? Like, you scroll through the whole thing, and, like, it's kind of like, depending if it's a random stranger too that does it, right?
I've done that with people I like.
I love it. I do this all the time. But so, like, I'm scrolling down, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm like kind of looking through someone's life, you know, in a sense. I know you put it out there, but it's kind of like, I don't know. I look at it that way.
I know. I'm honestly just pulling your leg. Okay, go on.
Stop fucking with me.
Well, fuck me.
Fuck, man. But I remember seeing something like this hotel vibe. That was going on. What was that exactly?
That was for If I Leave.
Okay, that was for If I Leave.
So the miniature, Marina made a miniature video with 4 different sets. Hold on, I just have to.
Because it was really cool. Like, it looked really cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with 4 sets. I actually have a little side note. I actually have the, like, the diorama. Diagram?
The diorama.
Would you come for me? Would you do everything you can to bring me home? If I took a trip, would you write to me? Would you say that you love me in a letter?
always thinking of The Simpsons when she has
diaphragm?
Diorama or something like that. I don't know.
Sorry, what's the definition? No, but like I have the actual miniature of the hotel at my place.
Oh,
she gave it to me. So anyway, she made four sets. So the hotel is from that, but she made this music video. Obviously, we communicated through it, but she, in terms of the sets, she kind of had an idea. And based on that, like photo shoots, had it all worked out.
Yeah, it was everything. So nice.
Like I went to a fucking train museum with like trains from like the 1800s that are still, they're not running, but they're in a museum.
I hope not.
I rented out the place when no one was there.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, there's a fucking story there.
Well, there, that's the whole point of this.
Yeah, so but
what's
like,
the story?
No, I don't want to talk about
it. Yes, you have to.
Well, it's like a money thing. I'm trying to like not focus so much on money because I grew up.
What does that have to do with anything right now? We're just talking about a story.
Well, because the muse, it's a story. But like basically it was like so hard to get this place rented because I had to like sign this massive contract and like there was liability and everything. I had to get insurance. Dude.
What, taking pictures in a fucking train?
Yep. Why? Yeah, because they're It's in a museum. If we fuck anything up, imagine someone on the crew was like smoking a cigarette inside, like a big dum dum, and like
I didn't think of it that way, but definitely.
But it's like I found this out. I want to say like a week before the shoot, and it took so long to like get the price and everything that like literally I picked up my photographer, the videographer, the assistant photographer, and. I think that's it. There was one more person. I don't remember. Oh yeah. Anyways, whatever. Doesn't matter. So I do all the time. But, and like on the way there, I was like driving this full car, like stressing out because I don't know how much it's going to cost me. And like the email comes in while I'm driving. I kid you not. I almost got into an accident.
What the fuck? What did it say in the email? How much was it?
I don't want to tell you the price.
Why?
It feels weird.
Why?
What's
weird about a price?
I don't know. It's like, it seems personal because it's not my
establishment. So depression is okay. We can talk about depression, but you can't talk about a price of something.
Well, because it's not my, like if it was my home, to rent out my home, I would have no problem. But because it's like this establishment, I don't want to like.
Okay.
But it's a lot for someone that doesn't fucking make money. Okay? Let's put it that way. Okay. But you know what?
One more zero than you would have liked.
What?
One more zero on that invoice than you would have liked.
Absolutely. But anyway, so whatever. And I, you know, I had a moment. I was just like, we're already here. My makeup's on. Fuck. Like, this makeup.
Oh, man. So hold on a second. You guys only got the final price the day of the shoot that everyone is going.
Yeah. And I had no idea how much it was the insurance that cost a lot. Fuck. The renting of the place was reasonable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit. And you got to go through it now. Now
I
it's
had
like,
to.
You had too much shit in the game already. You can't stop this now. And you did your makeup and shit. You have to go now.
Yeah. And like that shit's a bitch to take off. And it's very rare that I have a full face like that. I'm like, whoa. But like, yeah. So we did it. And I don't regret it because at the end of the day, it's like a year later, I'm not going to think about the money. I'm going to think about the experience. So it was great. So that all came from this motel music video. I went to the train station. I went to a hotel to do photos. Like it all like connected and intertwined.
And so what was it about this song that made you feel like I'm going to go do this whole set thing? Like instead of just releasing a song, like there was a whole like
production.
Story. Yeah, there's a whole production that's associated to this song. So it must have meant something.
It did for sure. It was also my first music that I put out since the 6-year hiatus.
Okay.
So I really wanted to go with a bang.
Yeah, this was the
yeah,
hit.
It was really special. And it was like a miniature music video. I'd never done something that creative for a video. And like, yeah.
How did it feel going through that whole process of being on a, like doing sets and now organizing this whole idea with the trains, you know, like just kind of getting this whole shoot going on in a music video?
I felt like
video.
A badass.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Good. I was just saying,
I was like, this is what stardom feels like.
Don't be some fucking like lame shit. No, you know, it's like, come on, man. Like anytime you do some sort of thing, it's like, yo, I'm a fucking rock star.
I'm a fucking rock star, bro. I got 20 monthly followers, dude. No, but seriously, go check out my stuff. But like
I'll plug it.
Yeah,
please
listen. Stephanie Parnell, Stephanie with an F. No. But anyways. Yeah. So that's where that comes from.
No, that's pretty cool though. Like the whole image of it really, but it does have a badass like rock star feel to it. Like that's why when I saw it, I noticed, I said, you know, just the layout of it, you know, the pictures being posted. I was like, oh, something happened here. Like this was a cool like period of like, I didn't know if it was a breakthrough period of like as an artist or if it was just something, but I was like, there's definitely attention here and she put time and effort into this.
Oh yeah.
So it has to mean something to her.
For sure. And like, it's a nice story, you know, because like I said, that was the first single that I'd released in 6 years. And I had the vision. I knew who I was. I knew what I wanted. So like personally, it was a huge breakthrough for me personally, not as an artist, right?
Yeah.
But then also like Marina, you know, it was her first time she was hired to do miniature. And then she used that to apply to things. And like now her career, like she's doing way better than me. But like, that's great. I'm happy for her. But it, like we always would kind of highlight that and be like, this is so cool for both of us.
It was kind of like those moments where everyone is kind of at the right time, at the right place.
That's literally what it felt like.
That's fun. When those moments happen, I think everyone that's involved in that moment is always going to remember those times. Mm-hmm. And we had something similar when we had written, like we got together and we recorded our EP and we met like officially like Dave Traina, the guy from the drummer of Damn Truth, right? We met him and he had just kind of started. He was kind of on his way starting like the whole freak shop idea, right? Derek and all that stuff. And he had moved into our pad. And nice. We just like, we were there for like 3 months. And there was Smiles was in the band, Danny Smiles.
Cool.
And we were there and we wrote together, like we just recorded, together. And we kind of put all these parts together and we're just hanging out every single day and just having a great time. I remember it was like a 3 month period where we just pretty much lived at that pad.
Aww.
And we all went there. And if you ask any one of us that was going through that moment all together, everyone remembers that period. Like everyone remembers the fun nights together, putting it all together, like not being afraid to try things. And
it's
definitely, I find that's one thing. If you're not an artist, you'd never have, or something, not maybe not an artist, but you don't have a project that you really believe in. I think it's something that you miss out on life. If you don't have that one project with people that you kind of all work together and come together for in a vision, it's the fucking best feeling in the world.
And it's so much better, like collaborate, like doing it with people.
Oh, big time. Like the guy Chris that helps me, he likes the edits and he's like a producer of the show now here with me.
Cool.
When I was doing this stuff alone, it was fun. Don't get me wrong. It was fun because I was putting all these ideas together for the show.
Yeah.
But the moment he reached out and he's like, dude, I love the show and I want to be part of the show, you know? And I'm like, holy fuck. This is amazing. Like one of my, and he's the old singer of my band.
Very cool.
And it was like, we got together and it almost feels like the band got together in a way, but not working on this project. And it's like, the vision is there. We hang out again. Like we're talking almost daily. Like, okay, what do we want to do next? Like bring out an idea to the table. And it's definitely, that's the best part about it, to be quite honest, is like, you're kind of getting that artistic muscle and you're kind of like working out together in a sense, you know? And
I love it.
It's amazing. That's why when I saw those pictures, I was like, something happened here, because you just see it. Like there's this poof, like there's attention here. There's time here. There's something you're proud of. Like you could see that.
So proud.
And then you see like there's like the progress to other stuff. And then the modern tragedy and all that's modern tragedy. I can't even speak English now. But and then you see kind of the growth to that. So what led you from that period? And then you had like this whole project going on and then it kind of shifted to the EP now.
So what led me to it?
Yeah, because there was a space there too, right?
No.
No, it went right
away. Not really.
Okay, I thought it
was. It was all in the works. It was all in the works.
Everything was in the works from that moment. Yeah. I thought there was a bit of like another space where you had to write some more stuff. And
no, because I had these songs for quite a few years and I had done demos of different ones, like more than one demo. And I was like, I still don't feel it. And then I found the right people and just banged it out, honestly.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And it was, I loved who I worked with too. And it was, so Mishka Stein, he's from Pat Watson. He plays with Patrick Watson. Like he's the bassist and he's been playing with him forever. And he had shown interest in my voice like quite a few years prior. And he knew that there was something there. And he kind of just said like, look, I want to help you. Like, let me help you. And then the time was right. And I was like, look, put together some like a team, a band, and we went to MixArt and we tracked two demos live off the floor, and it was like, since then it was just like, it was all figured out.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that show that I saw you play at, that was that kind of, there was already a bunch of shows that had been played, or was that kind of like one of the first few shows since the release and stuff like that, or you had already been kind of doing quite a few shows after the release?
No. Actually, I think the show you saw me at early April. It's actually funny. April 29th, that's when I released the EP the year before. April 29th, okay, at the same venue.
Oh, shit. So you at Cafe Campus?
Yeah. And it was a booker that reached out. So it wasn't even like me being like, let's book the same date.
Yeah.
It was wild. So I think that was like the second show, you know, since I released it. Honestly, I'm like a lot more selective as to what shows I'm doing now because, well, one, I'm hiring session musicians and it's not, you know, yeah, it costs money, and especially as like someone who's doing it alone. So I'm really like selective with that. But I'm playing full band on November 10th.
But so now you're saying you're hiring people. Like, is there the idea is to maybe start something, a band? And so that way you're kind of working, collaborating with people at the same time, or is it always kind of the vision of keeping it a little more on a solo project and working with different musicians?
Right. I'm open. Like, for the most part, I'm open. But right now it's just like this, you know, this is just working. It's like one practice. It's like, I don't have to like chase people to see who's available when, and like, there's no like, I don't know. It's just, it's my vision right now, you know, but I'm open to people being like, hey, like, we should start a band and like write together. Like, I would be very into that. It's just, I don't know if that's the reality of, and now I have standards, you know, with who I want to hire, unfortunately.
Yeah. I was going to say, man, who was the keyboard player on the last show?
David.
Holy fuck.
David Osai Afrifa. Yeah.
He's next. He's one of the best keyboardists that I've seen live. He was fucking on fire. I remember your voice and everything. And then the second, like one, we were 1A and he was like 1B. I was like, holy shit.
Who is this keyboard player? He's insane. I wish I could have him all the time, but he's such high demand. Like, everybody wants to play with him. But everyone that night was good. Like,
No. The whole band was great, Adam, but definitely drums. It was just like, I remember he had caught my attention. He had done a solo at one point. I think it was on the last track, and he had done a fucking keyboard solo that I was like mesmerized. I stopped like thinking. I was just glued to watching him play. It was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good time. I love performing. I love performing with a full band, you know?
Well, it's definitely an experience, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but so when you were doing your shows in the past, like if we go back through your career, was there a lot of live performances or was it a lot more studio work, would you say?
More performances than anything. So like if we're talking pre hiatus, that was like 2015 was the last time I released something. I mean, we're putting aside like wedding gigs. That's just like where the money's at. And honestly, I do enjoy contributing to a couple special day, you know, it's really nice. And it helps, you know, whatever. But it also just helps us practice that, you know, just like learn new songs and, you know, whatever. But aside from that, 2015 was the last project I put out, Bound and Tethered. It's like a duo kind of Americana country vibe thing. And so before that, I was playing so many shows, especially for my first two projects that are not online.
Why are they not online?
Because they make me cringe.
Why?
Why do they make me cringe? Well, kind of what I said before. Like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, I know, but it's still a part of the process.
I know. Everyone says that.
So what? Is it that you don't like the song or you don't like you on that song? You know, like, sometimes, like, I don't like the way I performed on a song, but the song is a good song.
No, I think performance was always, like, kind of okay. It's really, like, because, like I said earlier, like, lyrics are really my thing. And I just was so young and just, like, there is a lot of people wanting to, you know, write a line or whatever. Yeah. And which it was with nice, but I just, I don't know. It's just not what I, it's not me. It's not what I would, Anyways, so those things. But those first two projects, I would play so many shows. Like on average, when I first started writing songs, like when I was 17, I think I was playing like 50 to 100 shows a year for the first. But it was also because I was dating a hip hop artist and I was kind of his hype man and like in his band too. So that counts within the
shows,
the sum of the shows. We had some great times. It's so like shocking sometimes to people and I'm like, I was in a hip-hop group.
It's like, you gotta dive into this a little more. How the fuck did that start? How did that happen? Because I'm not gonna lie, but I wouldn't have pictured that either.
I'm a fucking wild card, dude.
I'm fucking crazy, bro.
I'm crazy, dude. That started, well, it was a guy I saw play at a show years ago. and really was smitten and like crazy about him, but he was with someone and whatever. But he also took a liking into my voice a lot, and he really kind of inspired me. Like, he's actually like a kind of like, I don't know, he's not the reason I did, not the reason I did music, but he's not the reason I like did what I did, but he definitely like motivated me like to like do things.
Kind of, you know, other than also
just staying at home and like in terms of releasing something official, you know, official. But like, yeah. So then eventually we started dating, and he's a hip hop artist, and we played some wicked shows. Dude, we opened for Fife Dog from a Tribe Called Quest.
Oh shit.
At Club Soda. It was packed. David told me to take the second verse, and we're talking like rapping. Rapping. I like the way I don't know why I said it like that. Rapping. And I fucking did it. The room lost their minds. They're like, who's this little emo girl? Like spitting bars and actually fucking doing a pretty good job at it. It was so fun. Anyways, that's like my best memory.
So we got to find a video of that, you know.
There's a video, maybe not of that, but there is a video from that night of another song I can send to you.
Yeah, you got to send that to me. I'd love to see the way that night went out.
So fun.
But okay, so then, and then you were in there. How come you didn't kind of continue down that road then?
Well, because we broke up and it wasn't my thing. My thing was my thing. I was just helping him.
Okay, so it was really like, it was always just, okay, it was more of a help versus something that kind of said, okay, this is maybe a new avenue to take.
Yeah. No. It was never the avenue. It was like, it was literally just like, I love performing. I love backing up people. He could also sing too. So there was hooks. We were, you know, harmonizing or whatever. But I really do enjoy that. So yeah, and I believed in his project and I wanted to support him.
Oh, that's cool.
So
that's awesome. Like, I wouldn't have pictured that. Like, I can't picture you on a stage literally rapping, like you were saying.
Rapping? I don't know why I said it like that.
We're gonna, you know, we have to make a clip of you doing that now.
Rapping?
But it's cool. So now, so like, it's fun because I'm hearing all of these things. Like, you had all these different types of experiences with music, like going from the background of it, like helping out and being part of this project, having your kind of self-discovery, walking away from it. Like, there's so many stories that you have with this one, like, art that you're working on. And now you seem like you're kind of reinvigorated and you're kind of coming back and you want to do more shows and there's stuff that's coming out. So for you right now, what are you really excited about? What's coming up? You mentioned a show.
So a show, I honestly spent this summer, I didn't do as much, not nearly as much writing as I wanted to, but I think this came from the last project too and discovering myself as an artist. And otherwise, like, I just trying to like enjoy life too. And it's not to say that music doesn't let me enjoy life. It absolutely does, but I don't want to put the pressure on me as much. And I just like had an incredible summer and like got in touch with like, you know, my sexuality and like hung out with a lot of girlfriends and like built those friendships. You know, I spent most of my life being close to guys, and it's like I'm realizing I missed out a lot. Like, there's a lot of sweet chicks out there. And are we allowed to say chicks?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
What the fuck?
But you said you discovered your sexuality. What did you discover?
Well, just like, or maybe not discover. That wasn't the right word. I explored it more and like, yeah, I explored it more. It was just like more like my relationship with females.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was always a part of me, and I had experienced, dabbled into that, dabbled in CJEP and stuff.
You have some great words that you're coming out with today. Dabbled, smitten.
Smitten.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And I am not a girl of words, man. I am not, like, words don't usually work. You're like a fucking
Webster from now on.
Anyway, so yeah, I just like, I had like experimented in CJEP, and I always had this attraction to women, and I definitely suppressed it a lot. And then this year, I just didn't suppress it, and I'm becoming more comfortable with being myself, which is I like men and I like women. And like, I actually, after a relationship that I had this year, like, I genuinely don't know what the future looks like if I see a man in front of me or a woman, you know. And that's, it's kind of nice. It's a little bit like nerve-wracking because it's, I really want to find a person, but I can't rush that shit. Yeah, so that's what that means. And I'm, yeah, I'm just trying to become more comfortable with who I am, with my sexuality, with the fact that I am a fucking anxious, nutcase and like super hyper all the time and also really sad, like, yeah. And like really romanticized like being sad sometimes, unfortunately. Like I love listening to sad music. I just like love watching sad movies. I love crying.
I'm not laughing at the fact that
you can laugh all you
want. No, I'm not laughing at what you're saying. It's that it's crazy because a lot of people will look at that in one way and say, oh my God, that's so sad. And I find it's the complete opposite. I find it's like you're actually saying, well, not everyone thinks the same way. And this is what I enjoy. And so it's not wrong that I enjoy this. And you're kind of like, what's nice is that you're saying you're embracing these new things that you're kind of realizing that I enjoy watching these things. I like watching these things. I'm questioning my sexuality. I'm doing all of these things. And it's helping you figure shit out where you know it's part of you now. And versus trying to fight it, it's kind of like, how do I work with this?
Yeah.
And how has that been going? Like just for you recognizing that it's something that is with you and you want to work with it and not try to suppress it anymore and fight it.
Honestly, it's been good for the most part. I think because of my nature and how my brain works, I definitely doubt things a lot. And it's not so much, I'm not doubting like, do I like women? I'm doubting like, just, it's a confidence thing, you know?
Yeah.
But no, I think it's been going, honestly, this year has like really been a great year in comparison to last year. Wow. But like this year, I really have been doing the work. I started going to AA and I started like, I need to pick up therapy again. And I'm specifically want to look into IFS, which is like internal family systems.
Okay. What is that?
Internal. Now I'm like questioning.
Questioning everything.
Hold on. Yeah, I think that's what it is. Anyways, it's just, it focuses on like family going to the root of it. I think from mm-hmm. what my understanding, I haven't started it yet. So, okay. But I have a number. I'm going to make the call. Probably will starve in the process. No. But yeah, I just, this year's been great, honestly. And I had a wonderful summer and I didn't write much. And that can suck when I think about that. But it's also like, no, I've just been living and.
But it's also, you know, like, sometimes you need that break too, like to remind you why you write or to remind you why you do it.
And give content for the songs, like give context or content, whatever.
But it's important like to step away sometimes. Like, you know, we always see this in like, you know, posts or whatever. It's like, just keep going, grinding. But at a certain point, you need to take just a break and you need to just cut it out completely and just disconnect. So you kind of remember why you like doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, do you have that feeling now? Like, were you excited to come back and
yeah,
write?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, my relationship has changed so much in studio, with writing, with performing. Well, performing has always been pretty, like, positive. Excuse me. Whoa. And now a burp. But I just, no, it's great. I genuinely love how things are going. I just really wish I could do it as for a living, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I know I don't feel confident in a lot, and even if I don't do well with music, like I know deep down it feels like it's what I'm supposed to do, and it makes me feel the greatest.
Well, it's funny. Not that it's funny. It's actually awesome that you're looking at it from that point of view, and I think that's why you're probably having a better relationship with it too now.
Yeah,
is when you're removing the pressure of making it, like just that word making it.
Yeah.
Like I've had guys on that they made it, right? Like they signed their labels and all that stuff. And what I realize is that we all have this vision, you know, when you're young, if you play music, that you want to make it. Like if you play music for real, there is no way in hell you can tell me that at one point you weren't dreaming about making it. Whatever making it is.
I want to be Dolly Parton, honestly.
I wanted to be Slash, like, forever,
oh,
okay?
Shit.
Like, totally. Like, that was my dream to be that. So, funny, when I had one guy that was on the show and he was talking about when he got signed, you know, it was kind of like, holy shit, like, everything changes. And then after, like, when the record label dropped him, it was kind of like almost this craziness of, like, what happened? You know, we were just signed. So, you know, how easy someone could take something away from you and give it to you. So as I get older, I realize that the word making it is not really making it anymore. It's being able to love doing what you do versus making it. And you have the opportunity, if you can get paid now and you can do this forever, that's great. But removing the stress of the money aspect, the making it, having to get someone to take me to another spot to be happy, you know? And I feel like that that mentality is, it's something that can really hurt you as an artist mm-hmm. and stop you from writing and stop you from doing these things. Cause you're like, fuck no, every year I'm getting older. I'm not going to make it, you know, and all these things. So the fact that you're kind of coming full circle and saying, holy shit, like I like this again. And
yeah, when I haven't had a discussion about this in particular in a little while, but like I'm listening to you and low key, like tripping out a bit because I'm like, it's wild because this was not me. Like, 10 years ago.
What was you 10 years ago?
Well, I was 22 and I had that pressure.
Yeah.
I had that pressure. I was like, I need to make it. Everything was just like, I had left everything with a sour taste in my mouth. If nothing was, I like to make fun of myself in case you haven't noticed. But yeah, I just like would leave everything and just kind of being a bit like upset because
it was always the expectation was just never actually real. Like it was like, it would never actually be what you expected.
Yeah.
Like I know for me, that's how I felt. Like every time we did something and it was a milestone of growth, I'd be like, oh, I'm here. How come I'm not here? Mm-hmm. Or I'm there and oh, it would have been so much better had it been that. You know, and it was like, I can never find a sweet spot of anything that was being accomplished because I was always comparing it to some sort of expectation or
someone else.
Or someone else, exactly.
Which is like, you'll what's a good expression? You'll drill yourself to the ground. Or
What the fuck?
I don't know, dude. you'll fucking disintegrate if you just think always are comparing yourself to someone. Because at the end of the day, there's always someone that's going to be better than you.
Always.
Always.
And there's always someone that's going to be worse than you. So it's like there's that element of where you either look at it where you never recognize where you are because you're either comparing to someone that's better or you're saying, at least I'm better than that. You know, it's like you're always kind of in this weird way of like comparison from high or low. And now it's like, man, I don't really give a fuck.
Like, well, you just have to ask yourself, like, forget everybody else. Like, what you want to be better than the last thing that you put out, right? That's what should matter.
Honestly, you know how I look at it now? I just want to go to bed with a light head.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to fucking like go to bed.
Oh, I go to bed with light heads all the time.
That definitely helps me go to bed. But it's like, but I try to not like bring the stress of the day to bed with me anymore. Like I really like stress is going to happen. There's like good stress and bad stress, all that bullshit, for whatever. Sure. But like really, like I ask myself, am I just like happy with my day? Like did I, do I feel like I tried to do the most I can with what I had that day?
Yeah.
And if I am, perfect. Like tomorrow's just like a restart. Every day is like a reboot now. So I'm like, if it was a shitty day, well, fine. It's over anyways. Fuck it. Tomorrow's going to be better. And if it was a great day, great. Hopefully we can continue it tomorrow. But there's no fucking guarantee that it's going to be another great day. So just shut the fuck up. Go to bed.
And do your best.
And do your best and move on. Don't compare it to that person. Because if you do that, then you get into this like,
oh my God,
vicious fucking circle of hate with yourself. It's crazy. It's
so vicious. But the only vicious circle I'm getting into now is with myself. So I'm trying to like just, you know, stop that and accept me, which is the hardest thing. But getting there.
That's awesome.
Getting there. I hear your 40s are great. I hear the 40s are the new 30s.
Well, I'll tell you in less than a month, I'm going to turn 40.
No way. Yeah. When's your birthday?
November 4th.
No way. I'm December 14th. Oh. So what are you?
I'm a Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Not all the things. Oh my God, Scorpio.
Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. You know, you're so hard to deal with. It's like, oh, shut up.
Dude, my moon is Scorpio, which means when I'm at home alone with myself, I'm like a Scorpio.
Oh, yeah. I have no clue what any of that shit like.
Well, I didn't before the pandemic either. And but then, also you know, now you're
an expert horoscope.
The things I bought in the pandemic. The things I did. Well, look, the bad choices.
I'm really happy that you came here today. One, like,
me too.
One, we finally got it done. Like,
I know.
It was a conversation that I really wanted to have, and we had like a few laughs over the phone and text.
Same. So happy you were my first.
I hope you remember.
Oh, I will.
Was it as good for you as it was for me? You're present here, right?
I'm fucking present.
And I honestly, I had a really fucking great time, and me like too. Learning the story about just, you know, how you got out of things and how you came back, and you look like, I didn't know what you looked like before, but you look at ease, and that's fucking awesome.
That means so much.
Honestly, you really give off that vibe of just like, you found yourself and you're working towards something now that you look really happy about. Yeah. So I'm super happy for you. I hope in a year or so, come back, we'll see how things are going. And I'm looking forward. There's a show, I think you said the 15th?
November 10th.
November 10th,
it's a Friday,
sorry. November
at 10th. Bar La Ritz.
Awesome.
And yeah.
There's a bunch of bands there.
We'll bunch of bands, dude.
Bunch of bands, bro.
Come see, yo. Yeah. Come see, dude.
Awesome.
But we're excited for that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Hopefully, if I can make it, I'm definitely going to come and watch the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was so fun.
Awesome. I'm so happy you can. That's it.
Yeah.
We're done. We're done.
Hey, thanks for checking out the show. It's been awesome working on this project. And if you like it, tell a friend. And if you want to support the show, you can by 1, subscribing and liking our YouTube channel at the DMW Podcast. 2, you can go to our website and sign up to our mailing list at thedmwpodcast.com. And 3, you can follow us on Instagram at the DMW Podcast. Thanks again for all of your support. My name is Steph, and this is the Dead Man Walking Podcast.